first CBSI in the world. Peter Berkowitz of the Hoover Institution is here, writing most recently in Nuclear Politics about a choice by Harvard College for a leader for the search for a new president, Claudine Gay having stepped down in to do with the controversy over Harvard College permitting unacceptable conduct by its student body and others, chiefly to do with anti-Semitism. This is, in some fashion, the red line of the 20th century. And yet, Peter, I go to the news from London again. About 275 people arrested on Saturday in various campuses, including Indiana University at Bloomington, Arizona State University in Arizona, Washington University in St. Louis, arrests nationwide, 900. University of California, I believe UCLA has canceled its main graduation. In other words, this is in the middle of turmoil. We don't know how far it's going to go. However, the measure here seems to be provocation. The measure here seems to be how anti-Semitic can you make your language and still be standing up in the midst of the media attention? Or, as I evidenced in the opening remarks, how insulting can you be to the traditions of an institution such as Harvard College to replace the American flag with a Palestinian flag of some fashion, and to mock the statue of John Harvard, who was responsible for the blessing visited upon the students attending these events. So that's Harvard. But you're at Stanford, and you tell me you see similar misconduct by young people, and it's not being challenged by the faculty grown-ups. Is that correct, Peter?
Well, we can say this. There's certainly an encampment in a central location at Stanford University. It had been ordered removed several months ago. It's back. You can see there signs that say revolution until victory. You can see signs that say welcome to the People's University of Palestine. You can see signs that say from San Jose to, which is south of here, from San Jose to Palestine, death to settler colonialism. Now, revolution to victory and death to settler colonialism, what does that mean? Well, the revolution, the victory to which they're hoping, is a revolution that sweeps away the United States as we know it, not just Israel. And death to settler colonialism projects, well, who is in the imagination of those who speak of settler colonialism the leading culprit here? Not Israel. The United States of America. So this is these encampments are also indeed very much devoted to promulgating the idea, the lie, that the United States is an essentially evil regime that must be replaced.
Is this an accident of the internet? In other words, that these young people can command a global audience using what their app called Instagram? Is this an accident of globalizing information, or is this some new strain of hate speech that's sweeping the country, a thing I'd never thought I'd see in my lifetime?
Well, in one sense, it's new. In one sense, it's old. Already in 1848, Marx in the Communist Manifesto said, we now have the technology for the proletariat, the working class, to become a universal class because at last they can communicate worldwide, and they can do it almost instantly. So we're living in that world, the world that Marx saw coming into existence already in 1848. So in that sense, what we're seeing here is old, almost 200 years old. On the other hand, this idea that Israel is a kind of puppet Satan, and the United States is the great Satan. That's relatively new, although it must be said, not invented by these students. I have my doubts how much they are aware that this is an ideology shared by the Ayatollahs of Iran and the followers of Noam Chomsky.
I've heard repeatedly in many venues that there is such a thing as an outside agitator, or an outsider, or someone who just came in to take advantage of a situation. I remember hearing the same thing back in 1969 about the Vietnam War, And what I learned then and what I know now is it's never outside agitators. It's the inside game that we're watching. In some fashion, these young people and their faculty colleagues are being empowered by this. How so, Peter? How does the anti-Semitic language and conduct empower people?
Well, we have to make distinctions. There's no doubt that, let's say at Columbia, some small number of outside agitators have filtered into the Quad. That qualification having been offered, I certainly agree with you. City campuses are more liable than suburban campuses like at Stanford. But this has to be understood as a movement that's primarily been driven by students within the universities. Of course, students don't make themselves. These students are the result of a particular education which puts heavy emphasis on the settler colonialist narrative, which again presents the United States as the lead culprit and Israel as a kind of puppet culprit. Israel is the representative of the pernicious ideology represented by the United States. Israel is the representative in the Middle East. So it is driven by students largely. There's some outside money. It is encouraged by ideas that are very popular on university campuses. I mentioned Chomsky. One could go back to Edward Said. One could go back to post-structuralist thought. So when we think about the problem, no, building bigger gates to prevent outside agitators from entering the campuses would not address the challenges we face on campuses. The challenges that we face on campuses emanate primarily from within the precincts of campuses, administration, faculty, and the education that students now bring to universities, their K-12 education.
I have been taught the irony to find the fault in myself before I find it in others. So I'm going to fault myself, having been on air for a few years, for having not emphasized the lessons of our American history. What I hear, colonial settlers?
Settler colonialism.
Would that be the famine Irish of 1847 to 1850? Who were starving to death before they got to the United States. Just that one example. You know, Peter, we could run these examples in all directions. The United States is made up of people who were fleeing death. Death. Is that irony useful to students who need history?
It should be made useful. Here's another irony. There's still no greater magnet to immigrants from around the world than the United States of America. What are these proponents of settler colonialism saying? How great are they insulting the intelligence of immigrants around the world who vote with their feet and say, I seek a better life in the United States? From the settler colonial's point of view, these people are deeply deluded, since the United States is a villain in world history and remains the great villain in world history and needs to replace all these people who want to come to the United States from Asia, from Africa, from South America, from Europe, must be under the worst kind of ideological illusions from the point of view of settler colonialism.
To Harvard campus, your report in Real Clear Politics is discouraging. Should I be, Peter?
I'll put it this way. One, we don't have time to be discouraged. We have a tremendous amount of work to do. We have to incessantly champion the basic principles of liberal education, which are so important to the future of the United States. And those principles are deeply rooted in the constitutional spirit of the United States. So no time for discouragement, no time for despair, precisely because there's so much work to be done.
Yes, sir. Peter Berkowitz of the Hoover Institution. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.